Man, I am pumped to get to preach on New Year's Day. Come on, it's the first day of the year. And I really, this whole time of year, I get really excited about this because this is the time of year that we're just a little bit more open to change, to improving our lives. We're a little more open to the work that God wants to do in and through our lives. So here's what we're going to do. We are starting a brand new series this morning. And we're calling it Breakthrough because that's exactly what some of us need. You have set the goals. You have made the resolutions. I'm just curious, just real quick, just so I know kind of who's in the room here and those of you watching online. How many of you have already set resolutions, just so I know? Okay, there's a few. Okay, how many of you have decided you are not setting resolutions this year? Okay, I get it. You're resolutioned out, right? Like, if I had a dollar for every time I have gained and lost the same 10 pounds over and over and over, I really thought I'd get an amen on that one from some of you. But you know what I'm talking about. But I am thinking that even if you have not set a resolution or you've not set any goals or you don't even have a word for the year, you probably have something that you want to be different from 22 to 23. There's some area of your life that you're looking to change. Now, here's what we know about this new year. It's going to be like last year. There will be some circumstances that are outside of your control. But there will also be choices that you can make within your control. So, I'm so glad you're here today. Maybe you're here and you have followed Jesus your entire life. You can't even remember a day that you just weren't completely dedicated to him. And then maybe you're here and you're a skeptic and you're just beginning to explore the claims of Jesus, who he said that he was, and you're just beginning to read the Bible. Listen, wherever you are on that spiritual journey, first of all, I'm really thrilled that you're here. Second of all, we all have a next step. Regardless of where we are on that journey, we have a next step. Now, this coming year, we will experience one of two things. In 2023, we will either experience a new year, new you, or, drum roll please, new year, same you. And we know this because some of us have experienced this. See, this is where we start. This is where the year starts, right? We all want new year, new you, but I've had some years on December 31st, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, I got more of this. New year, same you. Now, the difference between these two things will not be your hopes. The difference between these two things, the thing that will determine the difference between what you experience are not your hopes, but your, say it with me. You wish that weren't true, don't you? I'll be honest with you, I kind of wish that weren't true. I wish that I could tell you that all you have to do this year is just hope your way to a better 23. But I can't tell you that because that's not true. It will be your habits that determine the direction of 2023, in large part. Now, here's why that's true. Research has shown us that 40% of what we do on any given day is simply habitual behavior. It's our habits. 40%. It's on autopilot. It's unconscious. It's just what we do. Now, here's the simple question that we want to ask today, and we're going to ask over the next few weeks in this series. Here's the question. Are my habits making me more or less like Christ? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Are your habits, those things that you're doing on a daily basis, probably unconscious, not even thinking about it, are they increasing your desire to become more like Christ? Do you find yourself wanting to worship him more? I mean, finding yourself in a moment like we had today, just wanting to pour your heart out. You can't imagine being anywhere else but in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, giving him the praise that he deserves. Do you find yourself desiring more to serve him more? To serve in a ministry, do you find yourself wanting to give more, give your time more, to reach those who are lost around you? You just want to share your faith with them. Do you find yourself, your habits, making you more like Christ? If not, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you've got some bad habits. And here's the thing about bad habits. This is why this is so important for us to talk about here at the beginning of the year. Bad habits left unchecked will become spiritual strongholds in your life. And spiritual strongholds left unchecked will begin to shape your identity. This is a big deal. You see, the Apostle Paul, he knew this, and this is why he warned believers of this. He said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even what? Without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed. You'll be changed from the inside out. So over the next 5 weeks, we are going to be looking at habits. Those habits that are, we do them without even thinking. But specifically those habits that are holding us back from God's best, what he intends for us, holding us back from that inside out change that Paul is talking about, holding us back from our breakthrough. Let me pray for our time. Father, we just invite the power of your Holy Spirit here today because we need your Spirit to be able to hear what you want to say to us. Would you make us attuned to your Spirit that we can hear what we need to hear, that we can see what it is that we need to see? We want to hear a word from you today. Speak to us. And may we see Jesus and only Jesus. In the name of Christ, we come before you and we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at one of those habits. Probably the habit that I think has probably kept more people from their breakthrough than any other habit. And here it is. Excuses. Of all habits, of all things that we could talk about, this is the one that I wanted to start this year out with because it is such a powerful habit. Now, for one reason, what we just said, it's powerful because a lot of times we don't realize we're actually doing it when we make excuses. But the other reason that it is a powerful habit is because when we engage in this habit, when we make excuses, we don't call them excuses. We call them what? Reasons. That's not an excuse. That's a reason. Well, look at the definition of excuse. A reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. And guys, we are so good at this. Why? Because we've been doing it our whole life. Some of you have young children, especially if you brought your young children here. Church, can we give it up for those who brought their young children today? We love you. So glad that you're here. But you parents of young children, and if the rest of us can remember back, you remember this. It starts at a very early age, as soon as they're able to talk. The parent says, put your toys away. And the child says, I can't. And the parent says, why not? Get ready, here it comes. You're about to experience an excuse. Now, as we grow older and more sophisticated, we keep making excuses. They just get better. Okay, here's how this happens. Come on, so elementary. Anyone can spot an excuse when you start a sentence with I can't. But what if you say, I would, but now this is grown-up stuff right here, okay? I would eat healthier this year. I would work out more. I would, but I'm so busy, right? I would make better grades, but my teachers, they're so... I don't know, fill in the blank. Or how about this one? I would say I'm sorry, but It's not going to change anything. It's not going to make any difference. I would, but. See, we get better at it. But if you really want to up your game, your excuse game to like graduate level, I'm talking like 301, maybe 401, you graduate from I would, but. It goes from I can't to I would, but to I will win. Oh, man, this is, I use this one all the time. So I'm just preaching myself, hoping you guys need something that I need today. I will be more generous when I make more money, right? Like, I will when we have, it's our intention, right? Like we put our intention forward. And so we kind of hide behind that. Well, I will. I'll be baptized when I get my life together, right? I'll share my faith when I know more. But it's still nothing more than an excuse. We tend to hide behind it. Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." Ben has a really good point here. And it's because excuses may make us feel better, but they do not make us better. You see, excuses may make us feel better for a moment. We hide behind our intentions. I will win. We hide behind our intentions, but though it may make us feel better for the moment, it does not help us. Our excuses will not help us in the long haul. They're going to hurt us. They're going to hold us back. So, if they're not helpful, then why do we spend so much energy making them? I think there are a few reasons why we make excuses, but one of the primary reasons I want us to look at today, in a word, fear. If you peel back the layers, behind every excuse, there's going to be some level of I'm afraid of. Maybe it's fear of failure, fear of success. Maybe it's fear of letting someone down, fear of letting yourself down, fear of making the same mistake over and over and over. And at least if I make an excuse, I won't have to deal with that fear. Behind every excuse is fear. Well, at least most of them. There's something that we're afraid of. We want change in our life, no doubt. But we also fear change just enough to make excuses. Scripture speaks to overcoming fear, and it speaks to helping us stop make excuses. I want us to look at just a few of those today. The first thing that Scripture guides us to, number one, is embrace self-discipline. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:7 says this. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And some of your versions may say self-control, but you get the idea. You see, fear, a spirit of fear, is not of God. Now, there will be places in Scripture, as you're reading your Bible, you're going to see fear of God. That's something different. That's actually something really good, because fear of God is a respect, a healthy respect of God. It is a healthy awe and reverence that you just realize you are in the presence of Almighty God. That is a good thing. That is fear of God. But what Timothy is talking about is something totally different. It's a spirit of fear. And the Bible speaks to this, not just Timothy, but all through it. Look at this verse from Isaiah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Some version of fear not, do not be afraid, do not fear. Some version of that is the most repeated command in all of Scripture. Did you know that? Of all the commands in Scripture, the most repeated command is some version of fear not. Now, why is this so prevalent throughout Scripture? Why does God care so much about this thing around fear? It's because a spirit of fear is not of God, and it can never bring you closer to Him. It can only drive you farther away from Him. And that is the last thing that He wants. He wants to be near to you. He wants to be close to you. A spirit of fear is not of God, but a spirit of self-discipline is. Don't forget that. A spirit of self-discipline is. Self-discipline to trust God. Self-discipline to take your life and submit it to Scripture, to place the authority of Scripture over your life. Which leads us to our second point. So embrace self-discipline, but also embrace truth. Specifically, we're talking about the truth of Scripture. If you choose today to stop making excuses, which hopefully you're considering at this point, I guarantee you this, you have an enemy that is more than happy to supply you with more. If you choose to stop making excuses, he will be right there, ready. In fact, maybe he's doing it right now. And maybe there are thoughts that are starting in your mind with, I can't, or I would, but, or I will win. It doesn't matter the version of it, it's simply an excuse. And he's happy to give them to you because he can only speak his native tongue, and that is the tongue of lies. So, we need truth of Scripture. We need the Word of God so that we can replace His lies with God's truth. So, what do we do with lies? Look at this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you feel the aggressiveness of that verse? We demolish arguments. If it's set against the knowledge of God, we're going to take those thoughts. If you want to stop making excuses in 23, you're going to have to think about what you think about. Our thoughts are powerful, but not all our thoughts are true. Your thoughts are powerful, but not all your thoughts are true. That's why being in the Scripture, being in the Word of God is not an option. It's not optional for the Jesus follower. Because if you don't know the Word of God, then you're not going to know when your thoughts are aligned to His and when they're not. And if you're not in the Word of God, you are susceptible to the lies of the enemy. You may begin to believe things that are just simply not true. Maybe you're convinced, I can't lose weight. I can't get healthy. I can't do that because of, genetics. Well, mom and dad, they were, grandma and grandpa. Maybe you're convinced that you can't get out of debt because you need that nicer car. Or maybe you're convinced, I could never ask her out. She's out of my league. Well, okay, yes, she is probably out of your league, but that's not the point. You need to ask anyway. The point is, you've got some good things to offer. I mean, come on. The point is, sometimes we start making excuses simply because there's some lie that we're believing about ourselves, maybe about someone else. I have a good friend that asks his kids this question. I love this question. I'm stealing it, and I encourage you to do the same thing. But this is a pretty good check-in. What lies are you believing today? What lies are you believing today? Could there be something there that the enemy has planted and you just believe it as truth? If you're not in the Word of God, you're going to be susceptible to those lies. And you're going to continue to be susceptible to making excuses. Embrace self-discipline. Embrace truth in Scripture. And number three, embrace Christ. If you have thoughts that are beginning with, I can't, here's where you go. Remember this. I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This year in 2023, you don't need more willpower in your life. You need more of the power of Christ in your life because that's the source of where the strength is going to come from. Willpower, I'm going to give it 2 weeks. But the power of Christ, it renews itself. Every day his mercies are brand new. Every day. You wake up every morning, you put your feet on the floor, you get out of bed. His mercies, his strength is brand new. But can I tell you, if you have not placed your faith in Christ, you don't have that strength. It's not available to you. But if you are in Christ, then Christ is in you. Look at this passage. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to this mortal body, to your mortal bodies, because of his spirit who lives in you. If you are in Christ, then Christ is in you. And listen, you are made in the image of God. You have been created, Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, you have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Now think about that for a second. You are created in Christ Jesus, whether you like it or not, you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life, and I promise you this, his plan for your life, it's better than yours. Has anyone tried to work out their own plan in their life? I have. It didn't work. His plan works in my life when I'm willing to commit to it. If you've not embraced Christ, that is step number one. To embrace him, to be in Christ so that he is in you. Every day you wake up, you're not saying, oh, I hope, pull myself up by my bootstraps, I hope I can do this today. No, it is the Spirit of Christ. It is the power and the strength of Christ that is working through you. And you let him work through you long enough, you will have no need for excuses. Because the blood of Jesus has washed them all away. So, let's get real practical here. We're beginning a new year. It's the first day of a new year. I want to challenge you to ask this question. Number one, what is it that God wants you to do in 2023? And I want to challenge you to write it down. If you're taking notes right now, even if you're not, write it down, find something to write it down on. What does God want you to do in 2023? I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to do it sometime this week. I want you to do it today. Remember, I will when? Still an excuse. I wonder what that is. God has prepared good works for you, and he did so before there was a you. So what is it? What is it that he's calling you to, uniquely to you? Is he calling you to begin serving in a ministry? Some of you have the gift of financially giving through the church. What is he calling you to give? Maybe he's calling you to give for the first time. Maybe he's calling you to start a small group or to join a small group, to be in community with God's people. Maybe that's the habit that's going to create a way for your breakthrough. Maybe he's calling you to be baptized today, to receive him, to accept him, and to go down in the water and come back up, symbolically, publicly declaring your faith in him, saying, I trust Jesus. But what is it that he's calling you to do? And then the second thing that I want you to do, I want to challenge you to do this. Once you have an answer to that, I want you to ask this question. Why does God want you to do this? Why does God want you to do this? I want to challenge you to attach the spiritual why to the what. And it will make all the difference. It has in my life. For example, maybe you're thinking this year that you want to be healthier. Maybe you want to work out more. You want to lose weight, whatever that is. Well, great. But why? I mean, so you can look better in those jeans? Okay, I'll give you 2 weeks on that one. But what about this why? I want to be healthier this year. I want to eat healthier. I want to work out more. I want to take care of my body because God says that my body is his temple. And when I take care of my body, I'm taking care of the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. When I honor my body, I honor God who lives in me. Now that's a why I can get behind. That's going to last a lot longer than a couple weeks. Maybe what God is calling you to do is begin reading your Bible or to just read it on a more regular basis. I want you to know this Thursday we're going to be beginning a YouVersion Bible reading plan. I want to encourage you to be on the lookout for that, and I want to encourage you to read Scripture regularly. Maybe that's what God is calling you to do. Maybe that's what you would write down. But why? Is it because that's what Christians are supposed to do? Okay. I'll give you 2 weeks on that one too. But what if you invest in reading and being in God's Word regularly? Because that is how he's going to transform your life. That is how he's going to renew your mind. That's how your thoughts are going to start getting so woven in with his thoughts that your actions and behaviors and everything that pours out of you is less of you and more of him. Now that's a why I could get behind. So what I'm encouraging you to do, not just the what, but attach the spiritual why to the what. And just see what God does through you, in and through you this year. There's a lot of people willing to make excuses. God is looking for a few people who are willing to make a difference. Where do you need breakthrough? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your finances? Is it in your business? Your health? Your purity? Relationships? Where is God calling you to break through this year? And maybe you're thinking, that's all well and good. That's great. Been there, done that, tried that. But have you tried that without all the excuses? One of the best habits that you can begin today is committing to stop making excuses and start taking responsibility for your life. If you do that, just see where God begins to take that. Life, Scripture talks about life being a race. Don't think of it as just one long marathon. I want you to think of this year in terms of short sprints, small victories along the way. Celebrate those small victories. and acknowledge who gave you the victory. As we look through Scripture, the people that you see winning, finishing the race, they are not extraordinary people. They are simply ordinary people who had extraordinary determination to embrace self-discipline, to embrace truth of Scripture, and to embrace Christ, to cling to Him. If you have not done that, that is step number one. In Jesus, the power of sin, it's broken. When He died on the cross, He broke sin's power over you. So my friend, if you are stuck, maybe you've been stuck for a while now, but if you are stuck, it's your habits. Pay attention to them. Like Paul said, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out.